This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And a good Thursday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. America, have you exhaled from last night? I believe that we will win, Jensen. Another win for the red, white, and blue.
What a scintillating scene it was. I know we're not allowed to say it out loud on the broadcast. Levi's Stadium looking about as good as it ever has. Shy of the Super Bowl there, it had that big game feel for it. Controversy that we'll get into with a very criminal red card. A lot of outrage on social media and well worth it. But into the round of 16, my man. And dare we say, did the schedule makers see this coming? Monday night football in America in the Pacific Northwest. Let's go, baby. Can't wait.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. That's going to be a lot of fun, obviously, with the 250th Independence Day celebration this weekend. And then we get football right after it on Monday night. Let's go. What a weekend this is going to be here for the good old U.S. of A. Chris Vasili is going to join the program here to talk all things World Cup soccer, not just Team USA, but drama all around the pitch yesterday. We'll get to that. You know, we've got free agency in the NBA, but also in the NHL. And Jonathan Davis is going to join the program and give us maybe some teams that we can look at for really good numbers today as we're all focused on football and everywhere else. JD's got some looks ahead for hockey. And Scott Merlin is going to be kind enough to join the program, of course. Does a great job covering the Southsiders right now in Chicago and the White Sox, all the rave right now in the American League Central. But let's get to it. The drama we saw on the pitch yesterday, that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Lead story, of course, is England. No. It's us. It's us beating Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 yesterday. As you mentioned, a lot of drama there as we saw Flo Balogun get a controversial red card for the ages, I think, yesterday. You saw novice soccer fans on social media going, wait a minute, was that really a red card? But that means that we won't have Balogun going up against Belgium, who had a great comeback in their own right to beat Senegal 3-2. And I kid, but England did get a really rousing win against Congo DR 2-1. But Jensen, we're all about USA today, at least, in this first matchup. What do we make of this now without so far our top goal scorer going into that matchup Monday night against Belgium? And right now we are small favorites to get this job done.
Well, first of all, what an outstanding job by this group. And knowing that it was pretty criminal, considering when you look at a guy like Lionel Messi that didn't even get a yellow card, let alone a VAR review about what is deemed a red card or an offense that will send off America's best scorer. I think it's more the resiliency yesterday and kind of watching, even though it was Bosnia, and Bosnia had a great plan,
right?
Especially in the first half there. But you know, all's well that ends well. Now we see what the adjustments might be. And you mentioned Belgium. They were on the outside looking in for about 85 minutes. And then all of a sudden, we get a draw home. I thought that was dead in the water for me about halfway through the second half, but we get the plus 230 for the draw in 90 minutes home. Belgium ends up getting the extra time goal there, and here we are. So let's see what happens on enemy soil for the Red Devils. They will be going in to the Lion's Den, no question about it, with the red, white, and blue. All the momentum headed into Monday night.
We're going to hear from Mauricio Pochettino a little bit later on in this program, too, about being able to win despite that red card that, you know, it was kind of funny just seeing people that in our space that might not be that in tune with soccer going, wait a minute, was that really a red card? So I think a lot of people waking up today going, I don't know how that happened, but yes, we'll be out without our top goal scorer here going up against Belgium on Monday night. The Celtics will be without Jaylen Brown because they've traded him away. They didn't trade him away to anybody. They traded him away in the conference. Oh, not just in the conference, in the division, to their arch rivals in the Philadelphia 76ers for Paul George and four draft picks. Jensen, okay, we talked about it the day of, and I said right here in the program, boy, do they have to patch fences with Jaylen Brown after they couldn't move him in the Giannis sweepstakes? And we thought, oh, well, you know, cool heads would prevail. No, They had to move him. I'm not saying that this deal long-term can't work out for Boston, but in the short term, it feels like the 76ers really kind of fleeced their rivals.
I would agree. how do we want to put that? Were there pictures that both front offices had on each other, and one was like, oh, you want to go that route? I'll one-up you here. Listen, this is why we have our experts at the network, and Zachary Cohen, Jonathan Von Tobel, and the crew there on the Hardwood Handicappers podcast will have broken this down in earnest. But that is a remarkable shift from where Jaylen Brown, personality-wise, must not have fit at some other places too, Dave. If you think about what the package is, let alone was Boston kind of pushed into a corner here, and, you know, is what it is. Okay, on the surface, though, do you agree with the odds movement there in the futures market, not only in the Eastern Conference, but also now to win the NBA title?
Well, we always talk about it. Yesterday's price is not today's price, right? So it was under $3 yesterday for the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference. Well, this is over, about $1.50 money move here with Jaylen Brown leaving to Philadelphia. Boston is now plus 425. The Knicks, reigning defendings, now go to the favorites to repeat in the East at plus 320. And here come the 76ers. It feels like every day after a move, we saw talked about it with Kawhi Leonard as the Raptors went to 9-1. The Sixers now vault in front of both Toronto and Detroit to 750 as the third betting choice. So again, the chairs starting to settle, and the musical chairs there in the East. Miami with Giannis is also 9-1, but this is pushing back numbers like the Cavaliers at plus 950. Do they have a counter somewhere down the road? Indiana obviously getting healthy here at 16-1. Jensen, it feels like now maybe it's going to start to harden a little bit with the Sixers, Pistons, Raptors, Heat all kind of in the same number there in the East. We'll keep an eye on those. And a lot of deals going on here. Some smaller ones we'll get to around the association. But, boy, Joe Frizzio, our esteemed producer, does a great job in this program. Seven straight games for the Yankees. So, Joe, we're not trying to rub it in, but we might have some real trouble here with the Yankees going forward. So they lose in extras yesterday against the Tigers, who are getting hot all of a sudden. And how about the Cubs? They 23 and they hold the Padres to just a field goal, 23-3 in this one at Wrigley. You've been all over Junior Caminero with a homer for a sixth straight game. Jensen, a lot of changing places here around Major League Baseball, but let's start with the Yanks. Real trouble here in Paradise with seven straight losses?
This is the June swoon that is now leaked into July, at least for a day. Dave, we are looking at a team, even yesterday, they make the comeback in the ninth inning, and then their bullpen cannot have any command whatsoever. Tigers break it open and put up a crooked number there in the 10th inning to get it home. The story for the Cubs coming up in Daily Diamond, we will highlight what has been a revelation that is the old Vandy boy, Dansby Swanson. What a performance yesterday, punctuating that 23-3 crushing of the Friars there, but it is Junior Caminero. Gave him out on this program early this week, 20-1 in the AL MVP market. Dave, you say it all the time, yesterday's price is not today's price. If you look at where the award market is now, Junior Caminero is 7-1 on DraftKings. So hopefully you got that 20-1 ticket in pocket. What a race we will have for the American League Most Valuable Player.
And I'll just say this too: the Yankees are down to $1.20 betting favorite to win the division, and they're 3.5 games back of the Rays. So it shows you where the market is right now. Still not full believers in the Rays, despite having that 3.5 game lead. But if Caminero keeps hitting like this, he might be the MVP. Very quickly, Major League Baseball proposing to increase the roster size from 26 to 28 for the first 15 days of the season. Is that any movement there, Jensen? Or are we just talking here still between the two sides?
Yeah, we're trading some blows here and some other extenuating things that MLBPA has proposed there. We'll have plenty of time to jump into the ins and outs of where this negotiation goes. But if you're asking if we got any closer to an agreement, no, we basically are standing pat.
I was hoping for better news, but you are giving us the truth serum there, and it's not good news. Getting ready for our tee times here at the John Deere Classic, the JDC, getting underway there in the great state of Illinois. Jensen, want to give out one play very quickly here in case you're getting ready for your tee times. You want to get in just a long shot pizza money bomb play here, people. I cooked it up at 150-1. Now, remember, this is top 20, including ties. We can't stress that enough, how important it is to get the including ties part of it. It's Ben Griffin, the tournament favorite. Tom Kim, really like Tom this week. Mentioned my two guys to watch, Denny McCarthy and Jackson Suber. They're in there with Ryo Hitsatsune, who is a cut-making machine. Got to make the cut here first. You get all five of those guys home, we're getting 150-1. So just, I would, a little pizza money play. We're going to get one of these pizza money bomb plays here to get home here. But Jensen, that's a five-legger right here at 151 for the John Deere Classic. And I know you and I will give out some other plays here. We do like some movement maybe in some under markets today because it does look like the conditions will be ripe for scoring as well. By the way, the great feel-good story that was supposed to be Serena Williams on grass at Wimbledon, well, we don't even know she's going to be able to play doubles now with her sister because she's got a knee situation. So maybe that's why we didn't hear from her. Don't know that to be the case. But her double status is in jeopardy. Novak Djokovic cruises into the third round here on the men's side. And you know who watched his match up close and personal yesterday? Novak Djokovic, Jensen? It was none other than Rory McIlroy, who was there with his wife. And if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network and or YouTube TV, you can see this great picture of Roars walking around the grounds in his Masters jacket. Yes, the two-time reigning defending was spotted with his wife in the jacket. And Jensen, how about this? Novak calls him out in the post-game press conference right there in center court. And he says, "Hey, Rory, love your jacket. How about we play a match? You win, you get my racket. I win, you get the jacket." So a racket for jacket match is what Novak has proposed to Rory. But Jensen, I don't think he's going to fall for that trick, right? He's not giving up that greenie.
He said he wanted to play tennis only, no golf. You're up against it, Rory. Hold on to that green jacket for dear life.
Smart man. Only play in golf. That's the way we're going to do it. I believe that we will win, team. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription for just 1 week only. You're going to get 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. So that is roughly a 70% off rate from the regular monthly price. Next, going to go through July 2028. You're going to get our NFL season betting guides, plural, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, every single betting guide we do, season previews, VSiN Pro features, we're going to release those over the next 2 years. But don't wait. This is not going to last in perpetuity. This offer will disappear after July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, I know you go, wow, $299. Think about that. You're going to be covered for the next 2 years here on the network. Who knows what it's going to look like in 2 years, certainly, but USA Soccer looking pretty good this year, at least in 2026. So we get by Bosnia-Herzegovina. That's not really the story, Jensen, with this 2-0 victory yesterday. It's being able to do that for the majority of the second half, if you will, without your top goal scorer here after, can we just call what it is, an awful red card that was given last night. Again, we saw this with Germany, and I know the Germans going home going, boy, VAR really screwed us on this, taking away a goal. I don't know which one is worse, but Jensen, we talk about officiating in the NFL all the time. What about this? I mean, who could have seen this type of call coming?
Well, I think the angst is in real time. Dave, why do we implicate, you know, replay? One, we need to get the call right. That's why
we've
instituted it into sports. If you can't get the call right, then what the hell are we doing? Okay, second of all, it's the double standard that I think people are up in arms about. Lionel Messi, same sort of issue, and it's well documented for people that have been scrolling through social media, looking at that call, not even a VAR, let alone a yellow card, or nothing. But Balogun ends up getting not only the review, but the red, and allow the corruption talk to begin, because apparently the history of this particular referee is one in which there were investigations into issues of match fixing a handful of years ago. Uh-oh. So we already have that to throw in there. Dave, I threw this out here last night. I'll get your take on it. In the pantheon of awful decisions, does it rank into the hierarchy of the Tuck rule, the Fail Mary, Jim Joyce robbing Armando Galarraga of the perfect game back when I watched it at Comerica Park from the visiting bullpen, Jeffrey Mayer, the fan interference in 96 at Yankee Stadium? Those are just a few of the instances that I raised that are in the same realm of the criminal act it was giving Flo a red card last night.
I will say this. I'll put that as a TBD. Let's see how it plays out against Belgium, because without Flo in the lineup here, again, goals in the last three matches here for Team USA, he will not. That's really the significance here, people, is he will not be able to play Monday night against Belgium again. Team USA right now, about $1.30 betting favorite in there. And so Mauricio Pochettino has now got to figure out what you're going to do without Flo in the lineup. And I think you can understand, Jensen, he did not agree with the VAR review.
For me, never is a red card. Watching after on TV, and never was the intention to step up of the player. That was a normal action in football that happened because by accident, and it's never intentional. That is why, for me, it's never red card.
You know, that is the tricky one, because the intent part is what he's getting at, that there's no intent there. By Flo, if you've watched it, of course, we've all watched it here in the United States, and you know, coming down on the leg of the Bosnian player, and it looks bad when you slow it down. It really does. But if you realize in the flow of the play, no pun intended, that all of a sudden that was not clearly the intent, right? You're going for the ball. So you see these type of intent legislated calls all the time in major sports. And Jensen, that's exactly what he's getting at there. There was no intent, obviously, to hurt a player. And that's why a red card is supposed to be given out, is that if the intent was to hurt the opponent, that's when you get that, for an egregious physical act that is recklessly endangering the other player. I think we can understand that did not seem to rise to that level.
Totally agree. And again, Zlatan, Thierry Henry in the post game, I thought were spot on. And Zlatan has been just a breath of fresh air as far as the transparency and the honesty. I think he nailed his comments about video review and the spirit of football, of where you are with that act not being anywhere near an intent or with malice intended there. As it stands, Dave, you hit the big points here. First of all, before we move on, Malik Tillman, come on down. Your table is ready.
Oh, what a
holy hell,
man.
What a goal on that kick to seal it, a man down. That in and of its own right would have been one of the biggest shots in the arm in men's team history. But I think that just kind of illuminates, Dave, the resiliency of where this club is at. Is a different feel. It's a different feel of they can take on any adversity. They know what's at stake. And when you're on your native soil, Dave, there is a difference of home field advantage that I think this group is feeling now. You get to stay out west. We mentioned it. You and I looked forward to it every single week come the fall, in the wintertime. There's nothing like Monday Night Football in the National Football League. We get on the grandest of stages, the great and beautiful game of the United States Monday Night Football from the Pacific Northwest. And I got to tell you, the way the Red Devils looked for 85 minutes against Senegal, it is still a club that's leaking some oil, man. This is certainly not the quality that we've seen for them in the past. If you want to look at some mismatches, I know where the odds are right now, Dave, and I believe Team USA opened as a little bit of an underdog. They've been bet up to a favorite. Right. I think you had said upwards of $1.30 now on the 90-minute money line. I think we're in for quite the match on not only just some tactics, but as you heard Pochettino say, We're going to figure it out, and we'll figure also where that lineup change will be with Flo missing this match. And hopefully it's a well-earned rest, because we hope that we are into the quarters after advancing past Belgium on Monday.
You know, and obviously we'll talk a lot more about it on tomorrow's show as well. But when you look back, we did play a friendly with Belgium back in March leading up to this World Cup, and it didn't go well. 5-2, they get the victory there, and pretty easy for the Red Devils, as you mentioned there. And, of course, we have bad history with them in the World Cup, too, as they've knocked us out here in previous World Cups. But the good news today for Team USA, despite that red card, is that we haven't – this is only the second time we've advanced to this round of 16. So, like, we're getting into that historical connotation here with Team USA. And I know that we're upset about that red card, and we're upset that we're not going to have one of our best goal scorers out there. But, Jensen, if they can somehow get past – I know it's going to be a big somehow get past Belgium here on Monday night – that we are getting to rarefied air. Like, and again, I know it's Bosnia-Herzegovina, but to do that with a man down and to look like the clearly superior squad out there, even a man down, and not just any guy, right, as we mentioned here – that was really impressive to me. So, again, Belgium's going to be a different test than we've seen. The way they came back against Senegal down 2-0 and that late to do it, it does kind of – boy, you got to tighten up that defense a little bit here, and let's figure out how you're going to get more offense going. But, man, this should be a day for teams and for the country to really celebrate how far we've come. Jensen, I know we're not satisfied now getting to this round of 16, but this is really for us – in a long, long time, as good as it's gotten.
Absolutely. Okay, so now I think you also kind of fast forward to where we are in the bracket, Dave, and really feeling lucky of the price point that I got on the United States at 35-1 to win it all. Mm-hmm. We're set up in a great monetization opportunity here, and a couple of different ways, right? We could start taking a little piece of it on, you know, the to advance to qualify price, with that being at plus $1.05 on Belgium. Obviously, we will never admit in a court of law betting against our own brethren here, but cooler heads and mathematicians do prevail. We'll run the numbers on Monday. And also, Dave, with what's on deck today, remember the other side of the bracket, should they reach the quarterfinal, you would expect that Portugal takes care of business against Croatia and Spain the same against Austria. But look no further than where England was yesterday, okay? This mm-hmm. is still a side that has a lot of questions, and they are going to be in the fight of their life down at Estadio Azteca, against Mexico at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you feel like we've had great Sunday night football in the National Football League, Dave, this is like peak Bills, Ravens, you know, thinking of season openers that are just going to have the attention of the world. That's what you're going to get when Mexico and England do battle on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing as we start to get to the nitty-gritty here and to think that we're one of those teams here in the said nitty-gritty. It's kind of fun here for Team USA. Let's see if we can keep this going on Monday night. We'll break down a lot today and certainly tomorrow as well before we say goodbye for the 4th of July weekend. When we come back, what about the NBA free agency and a massive trade yesterday with Jaylen Brown now in Philly? Let's break it down next right here. Beeson by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circus football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, that's all it takes. You can play all season long from anywhere in the United States. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Speaking of Circa, we've got some changes that we'll get to a little bit later on here. Significant ones in the state of Kentucky that we'll bring to your attention. And this might be a little bit of foreshadowing of what is to come, people. A big-time change here in this state. Big-time changes in the NBA. And going from Boston to Philadelphia, if you're Jaylen Brown yesterday. This was, I believe, a pretty big shock. Jensen, it's not a surprise. We talked about it, that Jaylen Brown would be moved. I think the surprise is where he got moved to into Philadelphia and what the return back was. Paul George, what year is this? 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. it feels like a salary dump. And I don't want to say that you're waving the flag on the season because they're still the second betting choice to win the Eastern Conference. But as Jonathan Von Tobel said on our program yesterday, I mean, not with my money, Jensen. There's no way I could be interested in Boston now, this version. I don't know what it's going to look like in Philadelphia with Jaylen Brown, but you've got to think in the short term, it does feel like a bit of a fleecing.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the team impact here. First and foremost, good out of the 76ers, right? I mean, you're looking to try and take a next step. You've had injury issues to deal with Embiid. Maxey is ascending to one of the great scorers and one of the great playmakers in the association. And so why not get it kind of does feel Miami Heat-esque of years ago, right? When you had LeBron and you had Bosch and you had Wade. Not saying this is the modern day version of it, but Dave, I'd be much more willing to back a 76ers team with that trio than a Steph Curry, LeBron, and Anthony Davis in the AARP group out west. What does it do for the Celtics? Well, as you said, this is not your father's Paul George, or maybe it is, but the ripe old age of 36, but boy, does it feel like a very old 36. Still a skilled shooter, playmaker when he's healthy, but obviously we got an injury history to deal with there too. As far as the cap space goes, you're looking at kind of a retooling there, obviously around Tatum. They did add, you know, Mitchell Robinson. Mentioned, we talked about their front court needs, and they do get him from the New York Knicks, 3 years, $47.4 million. You said fleece. I think I can get behind that. Is it also, in your eyes, Boston kind of had to do what they could, knowing that the relationship was irreparable? And I don't know if other teams, and this is always the intriguing part about divas in this sport, Dave. What is the personality fit in other places? Like let's just start and make a list of teams that would have the asset amount to make the deal palatable, even favorable for the Celtics to consider. That's point number one. Point number two is personality trait wise. Where was Jaylen Brown a fit? You probably eliminate half the teams on the list. And then finally, the 76ers and those teams probably knew that. And they also probably went lower on an offer, having that in the back of their mind of they have to get rid of Jaylen Brown, the Celtics do. So let's not offer anywhere close to what we think is maybe a little bit above market value, if not at it. Can you kind of see where I'm coming from at that point, why the 76ers ultimately were able to land him at the price that the acquisition cost was?
Absolutely. And I do think, again, we mentioned it that the day after Giannis, it was official, he went to Miami. We came on these very airwaves and we theorized then that, like, have they burned a bridge with Jaylen Brown? You and I talked about compensation and look, you and I are kind of adults about this and saying your compensation should be, you know, that should be enough, but it's not for certain guys. Like, for whatever reason, now you've disrespected me and I just can't play for you no matter how much money you pay me. It's a very weird thing, but that's where we were with Jaylen Brown. We could kind of see it that this was going to be a situation now where he's going to force his way out. And so he does. And what's interesting here is he's going again to the enemy, if you will. And I mean, ironically, we don't have to tell you guys about the history of Philadelphia and Boston. I mean, this is kind of a shock that you would do this and trade a player like that in your own division to your arch rival. And so now you're going to be joining forces with Joel Embiid. So we talk about now, like, what year is this with Paul George? I guess we can start asking the question about Joel Embiid. What are you really getting in Philadelphia now to match him with them? Tyrese Maxey, obviously, really nice player. VJ Edgecombe. They've got some pieces there, certainly in Philadelphia, not named Joel Embiid. But speaking of talking about a guy, this was Jaylen Brown talking about Joel Embiid, his now new teammate.
I mean, this is my personal opinion on basketball. Some of y'all might disagree. You know what I mean? But argue with your grandma. Flopping has ruined our game. Joel Embiid is a great player, one of the best bigs in basketball history. Flops. He know it. This ain't breaking news. This ain't, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Y'all can clip it up. Like I said, y'all can post it on these paid accounts that y'all, these bot, whatever. That's just my opinion.
Okay, look, I'm all for athlete empowerment, right? Twitch, you podcast, whatever you want to do. But, you know, you put these things out there and then basically say, just go ahead and put it out there. You can plaster it. It's not breaking news. I'm telling everybody what they already know. Joel knows it now. That's going to be an interesting conversation that you're going to have with your new best friend that you're going to be teammates with here, Jensen. So that is interesting. I don't think what he's saying is anything out of the realm of reality. But I think it's easier to say that when you're playing in Boston and he's playing in Philadelphia. And now I got to go, you know, work with you every day. So I don't know that there'll be any lingering effects, but you talked about the personality of Jaylen Brown. Maybe that's part of it when you're that outspoken about certain things that other teams go, as talented as he is, we know he's very, very talented. I wonder now, you got to mesh now in Philadelphia because clearly it was not meshing enough in Boston that they wanted to keep you with Jason Tatum.
I have a love-hate relationship with athletes and where, you know, they've tried to actually, Dave, I had a conversation. I won't reveal the agent's name, but this was about a year or so ago with a very, and she represents a very prominent pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's the difference now with where, you know, we were when, you know, I was being drafted and how the game was then to where we are now. She goes, I have to worry so much more about what these guys want to do non-baseball related, like podcasts, like brand endorsing, all the other things that have nothing to do with wins and losses on the court, on the mound. You know, it really is remarkable. Your point is fabulous from the standpoint of this is Joel Embiid's team and Tyrese Maxey. And you better come on bended knee here, Jaylen Brown, and really smooth this over quite quickly. Because you also have the Philadelphia fan base that is far worse as far as critique than Boston. And so you've got your work cut out for you, pal. To that end, I still think the 76ers are going to be a handful in the Eastern Conference. If you get health, Dave, I mean, think about it. If you can load manage, because this is what the NBA does, if you can load manage Embiid enough, now that you've got Maxey and Brown to kind of shoulder responsibility, I mean, don't you think that that's a great opportunity to get behind a club that's going to be very, very tough to handle in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, we saw the run they made. I know that, you know, once you got against the Knicks, it was a different story in the East. But, you know, with this version of Joel Embiid and what they had without a Jaylen Brown last year, you're able to get Boston out of there. I mean, it's pretty impressive to me what they were actually able to accomplish with what? 3/5 of a Joel Embiid out there? You know, he can't play every day and his knees and all those things. If he's healthy, Jensen, at plus 750, and again, maybe that first conversation when Jaylen Brown walks into the room, Joel just looks at him and goes, flopper, huh? Like, we're going to have to man-to-man at some point. We're going to have this conversation and work it out because you did make some pretty harsh comments about me not too long ago. I think that conversation is going to have to be had. Hopefully, they can then move on from that. We'll find out very quickly here. LeBron James, and this comes to us from Bleacher Report on X, says he's willing to accept a minimum contract to play for a contender. That's per Shams at ESPN. He does not intend to make a financially driven decision. Rumors are he's talking to 10 different teams. Are there really that many teams that he believes for a league minimum he can make a champion, Jensen? Is this, in your eyes, a real bargaining chip?
Well, in my experience from being a player rep with MLBPA, I would have a hard time believing the Basketball Players Association would allow LeBron to do that. It's not just about what he wants. It's about the precedent it then now sets for players of that ilk moving forward. But the narcissism remains, my friend. It's 10 different. Get out of here. I can't wait to see what happens in these sweepstakes.
It's probably a list of three. I mean, I think they already, Clutch Sports knows exactly where they want LeBron to go. All right, when we come back, let's continue the countdown here. Every single team in the NFL as we get ready for the Hall of Fame game. Houston Texans, you're on the clock next right here. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue Beeson by the Books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We have now turned the page into July. And boy, Jensen, I know we're wrapped up in World Cup fever, and we are, and it's good to see. It's really cool to see. But American football, we'll be back here, and you're going to bat an eye, and it's going to be the season's going to be upon us. And we're breaking down every single team here en route to Canton, Ohio, to get ready for the Hall of Fame game. Today, it's a very interesting team that we're going to put in the crosshairs, I think, from a betting profile. And that's in H-Town, in the Houston Texans. And even though last year they finally gave up the grip in the division and did not win that for the first time with the head coach and the quarterback at play there coming in together, and yet still – you go to the postseason, and I don't know what happened to C.J. Stroud at the end of the year and in the postseason, but Jensen, all of a sudden, I think for the first time, we have real questions about the future of C.J. at that position. Their win total is high. It's 9.5. You got to lay $1.58 to make the postseason. To win the division again, plus money, very small plus money, 9-1 with that defense, we get it, and 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think we got to start the conversation at the quarterback position. I really like C.J. Stroud, but the worst thing that can happen to any athlete at an elite level, and you know this and I'm sure you've seen it, is when a player loses confidence and then the other guys lose confidence in him. I'm not saying that's where we are with C.J. Stroud, but we were talking about quarterback changes at halftime of a playoff game in New England, and I think those were fair conversations to be had at the time.
First of all, Daily Gridiron wishes the Houston Texans organization a happy 25th birthday, established way back in 2002. Dave, yours truly was graduating from high school. Gosh, kind of a lot's happened since then. And, you know, your idea of where we are and certainly asking the biggest of questions, every team we look at that's a potential contender, Dave, what about the trigger man? What do we get when we have that guy under center? And it is a fair ask about what will C.J. Stroud look like this year? Well, that's priority one. And if he is back to the guy that, at least in the first half of the season, had this team well on their way to looking like a serious ball club, then I think Houston can breathe a sigh of relief. Remember, this team was 12-5, Dave. Second in the AFC, as you mentioned. They did not win the division. But still, when you have that kind of a defense, they upgrade their weaponry by getting David Montgomery in the trade with the Lions back in March. They also tried to upgrade their offensive line to get Wyatt Teller coming over from Cleveland 2 years for $16 million. Braden Smith also from the Colts offensive tackle. And here we go again, Reed Blankenship, right? And we talked a lot about, how the Eagles got a lot of guys leaving out there. That was a big safety move. For the back end of this D'Amico Ryans defense. All that being said, I think they did a pretty solid job in the draft too. Remember their first round selection, they moved up slightly with the Buffalo Bills to get Keelan Rutledge, the big guard out of Georgia Tech. He's probably an immediate interior offensive lineman starter and a guy you can anchor for years to come. They really were heavy on the trenches, and we obviously know in the AFC you better control the line of scrimmage from where you are. Okay, Dave, when you look at this weaponry, I get excited. C.J. Stroud, if he's right, has David Montgomery and Woody Marks, and Woody Marks took a big step forward last year, right? Nico Collins, obviously a number one receiver. Tank Dell, Jaden Higgins, you get the dynamic on the tight end side of Dalton Schultz. They brought in Foster Moreau. If the offensive line is healthy and reinvigorated, you have to believe that this defense continues to be one of the elite units in all of professional football. Dave, I would anticipate this team right back to getting into double-digit wins, if not being able to get 12 wins yet again this year. I challenge people to look through and realize how different it's going to be for Jacksonville this year. They're not sneaking up on anybody. Okay, we're still figuring out what Indianapolis is going to do in the quarterback room. And then kind of looking forward about where is Tennessee going to compete this year? They'll be better. And I know you like them a lot this year, and we'll agree to disagree on our synopsis for them, and that's good. But, man, I still go back to a common denominator. You got a defense like Houston. You got upgrades in the weaponry and the offensive line. I love this team to get back to the top of the AFC South. They've got a favorable strength of schedule, 20th of 32 right now on paper. It's still there for the taking. They're still a better club than I think people are giving them credit for.
Here's my concern, I would say, is that they got off to a terrible start last year, right out of the gates. And they really were playing behind the eight ball for the majority of the regular season, then really got hot. And their defense just carried them. And C.J. Stroud, remember, he's banged up a little bit, too. And you go to the backup quarterback, and all of a sudden, they kind of look like they were playing better football. And then C.J. came back. And look, it could have been about health. That is a real thing, too. And we also know it's the second year now with the new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, that's going to be there. And all reports are is that C.J. Stroud and Caley are meshing much better in terminology in year two. So you got a banged up C.J. Stroud a year ago, right? And you got a first-year offensive coordinator last year. And now, hopefully, good health. Everything's back. And you get a full offseason together to get this thing back on track. This is a big year, I would think, for C.J. Stroud in to say that I'm going to be a 10-year guy here at quarterback for the Houston Texans. Just kind of hyperbole there. But again, if you have a really good year this year, bounce back year, then maybe he really is the quarterback of the future. You start to get to those second contracts that you get after being rookie of the year. But they better get off to a good start again. And it's not an easy start because it is going to be against the Bills, and then it's going to be against the Bengals. Now, again, you want to get those games, at least one of those, because they're at home, right? And then you get the Cowboys coming in week four, Battle of Texas right there, sandwiched in against a couple divisional games against the Colts and the Titans before you go on the road and play another divisional game against the home team and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who call London basically a second home these days. So on that left side of the schedule, if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube TV, like, Jensen, can you get a 3-3 start? Because if you do, I kind of think you're okay. But to get back to 12 wins as poorly as they played offense down the stretch, that is putting a lot of pressure on your defense. Now, thank goodness D'Amico Ryans coaches that side of the ball arguably better than anybody else in the NFL. And if there's ever a head coach that I do trust, kind of like Robert Saleh down there in Tennessee, when it comes to one side of the ball, that's D'Amico Ryans in defense, man. He got it done at San Francisco. Certainly he's got it done as a head coach. It has translated perfectly to H-Town here in his short tenure. So I like the football team. I do like the quarterback, but I'm just worried that if it was not injury and it was not communication with the new offensive coordinator, then what is it? So it could be that, and we could chalk it up to that. Everything looks better this year. But Jensen, if it's not that, and C.J. Stroud looks like he's regressed a little bit, I think this team's going to be a real struggle to win double digits again this year.
Great part about our NFL betting guide at VSiN.com. Looking at through the schedule, different trends or big trends for each matchup there throughout the regular season. Dave, this is a tough survivor map for me, for Houston. Let me just illustrate where they are out of the chute. At home against Buffalo, at home against Cincinnati, at Indianapolis, home against your Dallas Cowboys, at Tennessee, against Jacksonville, home against the Giants. I can't even like pinpoint it right now where I would use them in the first half of the season, let alone the first two thirds of it. Any initial feel of a situational spot that you would like them? And I even think you got to be very wary of the divisional matchups, even at Indianapolis week three and at Tennessee in week five.
I would look to week seven at home against the Giants, but the caution there is John Harbaugh. Remember what his Ravens did when they went to Houston? What was that final score? I think Houston get two? I mean, he just completely shut down John Harbaugh did in those. I know it's the Ravens, right? But defensively, the Texans could do nothing offensively against John Harbaugh's defense. And if the Giants have a better defense, like, that's the first spot that I'd look at on the schedule and go, all right, maybe potentially that's there. But in the back of my mind, you know how this works, Jensen. A lot of times it is coaches looking across the field at other coaches, and you're looking at whether a DC is going up against that OC, and those X's and O's that go head to head that a lot of times people don't talk about in those breakdowns. That's one I'd be a little bit weary of. It would seem to be an obvious spot, because do you really want to trust C.J. Stroud on the road, even in Cleveland? when you look at week 10, I don't even know if I trust that. So when's the next home spot? You mentioned it divisional. You're going to get that frisky against the Jags late in the year? Boy, for me, Jensen, you're right. This feels like a really daunting survivor play whenever you take him. But more than likely, you're going to have to take him at some point if you want to scoop the pot. Yeah. So good luck with that. So cautiously, I dip my toe into week 7 against the G-men, but I would not do it confidently right now on the board. I'm hoping for better days with CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans this year. Okay, it is, of course, you're watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.